Huge man.
No, I'm kidding. Hey, man, found out halfway through the sermon this morning, this evening, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. You pray for us tonight. We share, may not be too lengthy tonight, but we'll just share a thought the Lord has to share with you today concerning this passage of scripture here in Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. We'll be reading verse number 1 through verse number 10 and share some thoughts here in this passage of scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 1 through verse 10, the Bible says this: "All the commandments which I commanded thee, that are commanded thee this day, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wast keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vine and fig trees and pomegranate, a land of oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Father, I ask that you reach down just for a little while. God, give us the wisdom and the understanding, God, the intellect to be able to share, Lord, that we need to share, God, that we might be challenged, God, that we might see, oh Lord, that how that you taught and helped the children of Israel through those wanderings and into that promised land. God, may you too allow us to see the great lessons, God, that you taught them, and may we find those same lessons and apply them to our hearts and lives. Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your power. This we ask in thy name we pray, amen and amen. As we look here in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, if you look at Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 8, you'll find out it is a book, or the book of Deuteronomy as a whole. The content of the book was given to the people of Israel during the last month of Moses' life. There were discourses that were given to the generation of the Israelites, those that God had promised to be able to enter into that promised land. You know, as the Bible said in Numbers chapter 32, verse number 11, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me." You see, there was a generation out there that came up out of the land of Egypt, those who were 20 years and elder. I did not get to see enter into the promised land. I'm because of their disobedience, because they're murmuring, and because of their complaining. We find out Moses is telling that generation that is fixing to go into the promised land. He's reminding them of what they're supposed to do. He's reminding them, amen, how that they are supposed to stay true to God and walk according to the commandments of God, and not to intermingle with the other tribes, so that their hearts might not be turned away from God. It is a discourse that's given them. Amen. The book is named Deuteronomy, which means a second law. Deuteronomy is a reinstatement of the law of God to that younger generation that was about to enter into that promised land. Now, I want you to notice a few things we see in this passage of Scripture. We see four ministries that God used toward Israel that we can apply to our lives. Four things, and then we see a blessing right there at the last. And I want to look upon these four things. You say, "Preacher, what is that?" Amen. First of all, look at verse 1 and 2. The Bible says this: "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. Amen. Which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Listen now. To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wast keep his commandments or no. First of all, we find in verse 1 and 2, amen, that God allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Amen. Why? Because they did not trust or believe that God was going to give them the land. Instead of going in to the promised land, amen, he allowed them to wander. Amen. 40 years there in the wilderness. Why? We see it in verse number 1 and verse number 2. To prove them to see whether or not they were going to trust God. And the first thing we see that God did to the nation of Israel, he allowed them to be tested in verse number 1 and verse number 2. Thou shalt humble remember all the way which the Lord thy God. Don't you look at that word remember. 4 times that was called made to remember. First of all, we see in verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. Then we see it again in verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Then we see it in chapter 9 and verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. Then we see it again in verse 27 of chapter 9. And remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were called to remember what God had done for them. They were called to remember what they'd been told, how their elders of the past, and how they led them and directed them in the ways of God. Help us to understand how that we too need to remember the things that God had done for us. Remember the blessings of the twain that God had blessed us. Remember our failures and our faults, and not to go back that way again, but to walk in the way that God would have us to walk. The song that Miss Rita used to sing, "Remind Me, Dear Lord." Amen. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, amen, of where we come from. Sometimes we need to be reminded of how good God's been to us. Sometimes we need to remember, amen, what he commands us and what he wants us to do and the purpose that he had for our lives. You say, preacher, what is the purpose? Amen, to reach others for Christ and to bring honor and glory up on the name of God. You see, verse 1 and 2, you see the testing that God said would bring up on them. He said in verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in their heart. God knows what's in our heart. Amen. The Bible said one part, amen, that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9. It is God that knows our heart. It is God sometimes that allows the testing and the trials to come into our heart and our life to be able to see if we're going to stay true to him, if we're going to walk in his ways. Amen. Look to him in the midst of the hard times. Look to him when the going gets rough, and know, thank God, that love that we have for him. He knows our heart. James chapter 1 verse 3 says this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Honey, can I say today, many times in life, we find ourselves being tried. We find ourselves going through the trials, going through the hardships. You say, preacher, what is the purpose of that? Honey, to be able to allow us to get to that place that we need to be, where God can use us for his glory and his honor. Hey, when you take Haman's seal and you put it through the fire, you put the vessels that they made, used to make, the potter used to make it, work him on the wheels. Then after he worked him on the wheels, he'd take that vessel and put it in the fire. And what that fire did, and Brother Ed, it was, amen, burn out the impurity, but also it would make it harden to be a vessel that could be used, amen, by whoever might use that vessel. Sometimes it is through the trials of life, amen, where we're tempted, that God allows, amen, that process to allow us to get better, amen, more purer, amen, we might be used in a greater way for his glory.
See, sometimes we have to go through the storms, amen, to be able to get us ready for the bigger storm that may come later on in our life. It is those times of testing, amen, that God is right there with us. Oh, through those 40 years, God was right there with them. Through all the time that God was trying to prove them, He never left them. He was right there with them. And I'm glad, thank God, of the test that we go through. Just like Abraham, when God told him to take his only son to offer as a sacrifice upon that mount, Abraham, we find out that he obeyed God and did according to what God told him to do. It was a testing. Not only we see in verse number 1, verse 2, a testing. We also see in verse number 3, amen, not only to see, allow them to go through, amen, to be able to test them, but also verse 3, to teach them. He humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, only but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Not only in those 40 years did he allow them to go through what they did, amen, to be able to test them, but also to teach them how to depend upon him, teach them, amen, of his care and his mercy and his grace, and through all the storms, and through all the wondering that God was right there with them. He told them, amen, I'll be with thee, I'll watch thee, amen, I'll allow, amen, the hornets and angels to drive out the enemies that are before you. Amen. It was the Lord, amen, that gave them to understand. It was the manna that he allowed to come down from heaven. Had to be able to provide for them. Had to feed them. And I'm glad, thank God, over the precious word of God, that God has given us to be able to help us, to teach us, amen, to walk in his ways, to be able to know what we need to do, and to bring honor and glory upon his name. As his word taught them, amen, there in the wilderness, his commandments, even so does the precious word of God. How do we hold in our hand the precious word of God that we get to look into day on a daily basis, to be able to teach us, amen, what his word says, how to walk in the truth, amen, of his precious word. Help us to be able, how to be like a child, amen, with open hearts, with open mind, with open understanding, amen, to say, Lord, teach me in thy ways. Help me to understand thy truth. Help me to be able to walk in that you've called me to do. David said, Lord, teach me. Lord, direct me. Lord, help me. Incline mine ear to hear. David had the humbleness to be able to want to be taught by God the things that were needful. Amen. As a king, the rule. Amen. The people of Israel, David knew that he had to learn from the Lord, learn from the laws of God, and learn from the word of God to be able even to do what God had given me that place and that position to do. It is that same teaching we can apply to our life. Each and every day of our life, God teaches us to depend on him for our daily needs, just as he provided daily manna for Israel, amen, while they wandered in the wilderness. It is the daily bread, the daily help that we get from God's word. The Bible said in Luke chapter 11, verse 3, part of the Lord's prayer, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. I'm glad he is that bread of life. Amen. One word be said this. Our relationship to the word of God indicates our relationship to God's word. Let me say that again. He said this. Our relationship to the word of God, amen, indicates our relationship to the God of the word. What does that mean, preacher? That means the more time that we spend in the Word of God, I thank God, the more the God of this Word is seen in our life on a daily basis. Amen. The more that we look into the Word of God, the more that the God of this Word directs us and helps us and strengthens us and molds us and makes us to be that vessel that we need to be. Brother Duane, if folks can see God in us, we take this precious Word of God and lay it upon the mantle. Take this Word of God and lay it somewhere. When we go home tonight, don't pick it up till you come back Wednesday or next Sunday morning. Can I say today, the God of the Word, amen, will not be seen in our life in the way that He needs to be seen. Why? Because it is the Word of God that allows us to draw closer to the God of the Word. You see, it helps us to mold us. Not only tests us, He also teaches us in verse number 3. John 6:48 says, I am the bread of life. Look what He said in verse 4. Not only does He test us, not only does He teach us, but also verse 4, we see what He did for the children of Israel. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Amen. We see in verse 4, amen, that God cares for us. During those 40 years, now, boy, this just blows my mind. During those 40 years of wandering throughout the wilderness, I tell you what, amen, I take work boots and I can get a good year out of them, and that's about the best I can do. Amen, I've got to buy some more shoes because the soul will plumb out of them. But look what He said here. Verse 4 said this. He said, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Their clothes didn't get too old. Their shoes didn't get too worn out. Their feet didn't swell because the shoes were worn out. Honey, that's the divine power of God. Amen. That God took care of His children in a miraculous way that I can't even begin to comprehend. Thank God, I'm so glad, Brother Thomas. He still cared for us. There's times when I don't think I can make it. But I see the providing care of God show up and show out in our lives to be able to show the love and the care that our Heavenly Father had for you and I. Thank God. I'm glad that He cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Matthew 6, if you want to turn there and read with me, you're more than welcome to. Won't you look what the Word of God said? Matthew 6. Bible says in verse number 25 through verse number 34, He said this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Now the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, oh, catch this, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the thing of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. How, having shown the care how, that God had for each and every one of us. How just as He took care of His children there how, in those 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. How, even so in a miraculous, same miraculous manner, how, the same miraculous way, how He's able to take care of us. How, amen, why should we worry? How, why should we doubt? And we all do. Amen, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. Why am I having to go through what I'm going through? Lord, how are we going to make it? But thank God He's able to take care of you and I. He's able to watch over us. And He's able to help us in the midst of the storms. God cares for us. The Bible says, amen, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according, amen, to His riches and glory by Christ. Not only does He care for us in verse 4, but look at verse 5. Verse 5, the Bible says, amen, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Not only does He care for us, thank God He disciplined us. Sometimes we look at discipline in the wrong manner. But amen, I learned at an early age, my dad always told me, and amen, and of course Wayne can tell you, and you probably heard the same thing from your parents. He said, son, I'm whooping you because I love you. I'm doing this. I'm disciplining you because of the love that I have for you. Discipline is an evidence of the love that God had for us and our place in His family. Honey, can I say today, my dad might correct, amen, the other kids in the neighborhood. But when it comes to discipline, He didn't discipline them. But why? Because they were not a part of His family. But thank God, because I'm a part of the family of God. When I get out of the line, when I mess up, I thank God that discipline allowed me to know the love that God had for me. Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 8 says this, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Verse 8, if ye be without chastisement, well, all are partakers. Then are ye bastards and not son. Honey, Daddy, it reminds me that I am a part of the family. When the discipline of God began to work in my life, when the Holy Ghost of God began to convict me of my sin, of my wrongdoing, thank God, Brother Lance, it lets me know that I'm a part of the family of God. A chanting is not good at the present time, but after it's over with, we see that peace and the love, amen, that chastening does for you and I. Dad would always tell us after he'd whoop us, he said, son, I didn't enjoy doing what I done, but I did it because I loved you. Ain't you glad? Hey, man, when we correct our children the way that we have to sometimes, thank God in the love. Hey, man, allows us to correct them. It's the same love that allows us to pick them up in our arms. Hey, man, to soothe them and let them know how that we love them and that it's still our child. Hey, man, we're still there for them. No matter what may come into their life. It is that discipline, amen, that He gave to the children of Israel that allowed them to know that they were part, that they were God's people. Many times you look in the book of Judges, amen, when God's people began to walk contrary to the will of God, He allowed them to be brought into bondage. In the same manner, thank God, when they began to cry out, amen, He'd bring them and deliver, amen, and lead them out, amen, one more time. Time after time, God, amen, allowed that process to take place. Why? Because He cared for them. He did them because He loved them. And I'm so glad for that. But see, we see last of all, in verse number 6 through verse number 10, we see any rewards. Look what He said. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a Wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarcity, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou art eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Moses is telling the generation that's fixed to go into the promised land. He's warning them. He tells them, I'm reminding them the testing of God, the teaching of God, reminds them how, the care that God had for them. And he also reminds them of the discipline, that God brings upon them because of disobedience. But then, God showed them his reward. Showed that generation, here's what you're fixing to receive. You're going into a land which you sowed not. Into a land that you didn't have nothing to do, deal with when you put stuff into the ground. Yet you're going to be able to eat the fruit of that land. It is the reward that God is giving to that generation that he's fixing to allow to go into the promised land. Thank God for what God does for you and I. I thank God for the test. Thank God for the teaching. I thank God for the discipline. Thank God for the care that he shows for us. And thank God for the reward that we find and that we get along the way because of what God does for us. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this message. Thank you for those that are here. Touch them on hearts. Touch them on lives. Lord, do what?